Thank you, Don and Donna. Thank you, tech team, for reminding me to turn on my microphone. We're all settled. Our gospel reading today comes from Matthew's gospel. It's the passage that includes the stewardship theme. And so you'll hear kind of what Jesus leads into it with and what Jesus is saying about our sacred practices. As we jump into this reading, the word hypocrites comes up a number of times. It's not in the way that we would use it, where someone says one thing and behaves a different way. A hypocrite in this case comes from the acting world. So think of hypocrite as actor, someone who is performing something and not really doing it in a deep way. Let's pray. God, illuminate the words that we hear, that we read this morning. Show us what you are saying to us, and help us to hear what is good and what is true. God, because you are good and you are true. Amen. Jesus, during the Sermon on the Mount, says this: "Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. And when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This ends the reading. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Get excited. The holiday season is upon us. The thrill of hope. Heaven and nature sing. Even stoplights blink a bright red and green. While visions of pledge cards dance in our heads. The holiday season we're in, of course, is not me getting to Christmas too early. I am not a retail outlet. No, the season is stewardship season. Yay! You know the traditional stewardship dances, of course. The season of the church year, stewardship season, is where we really talk about money. We say the word money. We talk about your money, right, from this very pulpit. And more seriously, we invite each person in this room and online, and who watches this later, to prayerfully discern how much of our individual and household financial treasure we are able to and want to give to the church. Every year we ask you this question. It's a season that rolls around like clockwork. We ask it every year because each year is a different equation between the ups and downs of work and life. So we ask you again this year, How are you being called to be a steward of this church? We ask that question year after year because Ark and Dove exists because we build it. The particular precarity of churches is that we're always building the thing while we're always flying the thing. There is no other way. We're always going. And so we exist because we build it year after year. We build it. Sunday after Sunday, pledge after pledge, child after child, all of their ideas too, stewardship season after stewardship season. This thing is constantly being built. So what do we mean when I ask you to be a steward of Ark and Dove? On Friday, I got to chaperone my fourth grader Jack's class on their fourth grade field trip that many people in this room have taken to Arlington Echo, the outdoor nature education center in Millersville. Raise your hand if you were once a fourth grader who went to Arlington Echo. Oh, raise your hand if you went as a parent with your fourth grader. Yeah, okay. We know this. I was not expecting to receive a theological lesson there, though I should have been expecting it because God really is everywhere. Duh. Yeah. But so on our field trip on Friday, Jack and his classmates became Chesapeake stewards. They'll have an official swearing-in ceremony this week in their classroom. And so the outdoor educator running the program, Mr. Ted, explained to these fourth graders that stewards are people who take care of things. And he told them that we take care of the Chesapeake because everything is connected. He even showed them a fun little hand gesture. Everything is connected. You can take and use for yourself if you'd like. He required that I use it if I cited him in my sermon, which I told him I'd do it. He said, show him my gesture. So everything is connected. So I'm sure you know the Chesapeake Bay is connected to each of our homes, our gardens, our yards, everything that washes off our property. It's connected to the roads and the freeways that we drive on. And so I think in this room, if I'm correct, all of us live in the Chesapeake Bay watershed. But a fun challenge for our online viewers is put the name of your watershed in the YouTube comments. We'll go back and look and see if we got any. Everyone lives in a watershed. We just talk about it a lot in Chesapeake. And so in a similar way, if I can stretch the metaphor of watershed, we are the Ark and Dove watershed. It's not a perfect metaphor, but everything that each of us do flows into the health of the church. I don't know if they buy it behind me, but I'm just working with it. But anyway, in the church, we're connected to one another. We're connected to God, to the world around us. When we gather together, the scriptures tell us we become the body of Christ. Everything is connected. Our many pieces become one whole. And we do our best to do the tremendous work, which is aligning ourselves with the dreams of the creator of the universe. It's a big task. And we do that by welcoming the outcast, by feeding the hungry, by being peacemakers, by doing all the acts of care and courage we can in the world. And together we dream a new world that we walk towards together, walking each as our whole selves, the little weirdos that we each are. We get to bring all of us to this future. So yes, on one hand, stewardship season is about the trimmings, the budgets, the pledge cards, the bank fees, the offering plates, the real money and resources that the church requires to exist and to thrive. But more than that, what our stewardship team is telling us this year and emphasizing, it's about more. It's also about our heart. Taking care of where our hearts are, that which makes us come to life. And for many of us, this place is a place that makes us come to life. This place, the work we do, the risks we take, the signs we put up on the road, the people who gather with us, all that God has placed within our reach to touch and change and make new, it is what gives us life. So today, we heard from the kids a little bit, we're starting our scriptural thinking about stewardship among the prophets. The prophets were not the gentlest souls in the Bible. They spoke uncomfortable truths to power. I couldn't find a picture of a prophet yelling, so I went back to the Princess Bride. This woman is titled the Ancient Booer, which is what prophets were. Ancient booers, right? But they tell the truth. They speak extremely and performatively. They are fiery, unafraid, and at times offensive to the Prince Humperdincks of the world and all others who like the status quo. All right. The Princess Bride is done. We won't preach on it for a couple more weeks. Okay. But the prophets spoke for God. God spoke through the prophets. As Logan helped us to explore, not to tell the future, not it has to be this way or this is coming for you, but to tell the truth. The late Dr. Walter Brueggemann acknowledged this truth-telling role of the prophets, but he went one step further as well. In his book, The Prophetic Imagination, Dr. Brueggemann pointed out that prophets tell the truth and prophets dream the future. Our Isaiah passage this morning is beautiful and emotional. It is an example of that real future casting, future dreaming. And he's talking to the prophet and God through the prophet, to people who've known exile, people who have suffered and seen extreme hardship. And Isaiah, speaking for God, speaks astonishing comfort to the people. No more shall there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old person who does not live out a lifetime. We'll assume that's child, old person, which is 20 and up, right? Everyone will live these long lives. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity. They shall not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain. These are intensely relatable promises for a world that we have not yet reached. There are still preventable deaths of infants and mothers. With the continuing maternal mortality crisis among Black women in this country, and that happens because of broken racist systems. There are incredibly hard-working people struggling to make ends meet, who go hungry when SNAP is cut for political posturing. There are people who labor in vain today. And many young folks, young people thinking about building a life with a partner, who are debating whether or not to bring children into this world, into a world of climate catastrophe, because they fear they will bring their children into a world for calamity. That's all their children will know. So we know that we're not yet on that holy mountain, that mountain where no one hurts and no one is hurt, where no one is destroyed by callous indifference, cold disregard, or broken systems. We can and should lament that we are not on that mountain. But Dr. Brueggemann points us a little away from lament and lets us know we also must imagine what that mountain will look like, because we are all being called to build it. This imagination is caretaking. It is stewardship. Caring in the way of deep soul care, refusing to give up or say the world is on fire and there's nothing we can do. Granted, in a congregational context, our imagination is somewhat smaller than building the whole mountain, which, thank you, Jesus. We are dreaming dreams here. We are dreaming a future here where the building is fully accessible, where anyone can get in this building and feel that they can belong, where we can meet the needs of any child or adult who comes into this class, this church, the language they speak, having interpreters we need, being able to meet the needs of everyone. We dream of expanding our giving, of giving our mission ministry with 16 teams, whatever the huge number of teams running around doing good in the world, how can we empower that team to do more good? We dream of making worship fully inclusive of those who watch us online. With new technology and hopefully hiring a sound technician so that online worship does not feel like a lesser experience, because worship there or here is worshiping our God together. And one of the big dreams that we're holding tight to right now is calling our next head of staff. And a dream to be able to pay them a competitive salary that honors their education and their devotion to the work they have done in the past and the specific gifts they are going to bring to us here. That requires dreaming. One of the most beautiful things about stewardship beginning as imagination is that it opens up the work to all of us. Across ages and income levels, we've all got imagination to offer. You saw the kids, they were very quick to hop in on what is this imagination? What is this world we could have? And if you think, I'm not that imaginative, let me tell you, imagination is many things. We all have things we dream for, things we hope for, programs at the church that mean so much to us, we need to sustain them or grow them, or new ideas we want to bring to this community. That's imagination, folks. And each of us plays a role in shaping the community imagination. This is the work of prophets, and this is the work of people. To dream of the future, to build the future. In that way, our stewardship can be one story our whole church is telling together. So, as it's come up a few times, our stewardship theme, where your treasure is, a journey of the heart, is from Matthew 6, which Jesus delivers as part of the Sermon on the Mount. The selected verses we heard this morning were about what is at the heart of our sacred practices. Practices of repentance and prayer, fasting and giving, all meant to be works of love. We're social creatures, humans. We can't get away from it. We can't help it. Even introverts need attention sometimes. And we all want people to think that we're good people. But that's not why we practice those things that bring us closer to God and to one another. As Jesus cautions, we don't pray to be seen praying. We pray to be heard by God and for God to hear us. We don't give to be seen giving. We give because we're called to. And no, Arkandel will not be selling indulgences this year, so your pledge will not get you into the afterlife of your choosing, no matter how generous you may be. I made this late last night, and I thought it was funny. Okay. But so we practice all of these practices in order to bring us closer to God and one another, to make visible the connections that our hierarchical, competitive, capitalist, scarcity-fearing lizard brains have obscured. It's been harder to see how we're connected in the ways that we've been taught to live. We need to reimagine the ways that we belong to each other so that we can start seeing the abundant world that God has created, where connection matters more than status, and sharing brings heaven on earth in a way that stockpiling never could. Everything is connected. And acting as much as possible like that's true is how we steward the creation of that world. The world that the God and the prophets and the children and we are imagining together. On the financial side, as some of us can give more this year than last, and some are still hurting from the government shutdown. A shutdown that's over but is still inflicting pain. Some of us have had recent diagnoses or are facing uncertainty. Some are not sure how we could possibly handle making a financial promise for 2026 when scary things keep happening one after the other. But the good news is that none of us are doing stewardship alone. No one is asked to give all the money to keep us all going. It's all of us contributing what we can imagine and what we can handle. Remember, Arkandove is because we make it. Dream by dream, pledge by pledge, week by week, meeting by meeting, chili by chili, artwork by artwork, class by class, child by child, moment by moment. And often, we create little pockets of heaven on earth, right here. So again, as we celebrate this most joyous time of year, again, that is stewardship time, the session, the stewardship team, and your staff ask you to take some time to discern. What do you imagine for Ark and Dove? Where is your heart? What treasures do you have to offer? And we invite you to imagine the ways in which we can live into God's vision of the glorious new creation in this special little corner of the world, connected to God and to each other, telling one story in all of our voices. Hip, hip, hooray, it's stewardship season. Yay!